Welcome to today's episode. Here's a quick trailer for you. Be sure to stick around and catch the full episode.
Don't spill your candy in the lobby. What does that mean? It's actually a Sandler sales principle is where I got the idea. And it's this notion that when you start to talk to someone, if you start to tell them your solution right away before you've properly diagnosed and before you have the proper setting and frame to do it, it's like spilling your candy in the lobby. It's like a kid who has their ice cream cone and the cone falls over and the kid starts crying. And it's like, well, now it's on the ground and you can't pick it up and eat it now. So it's a tendency that most people have is to too early in the conversation to start talking about, hey, this is my program. Explore the impact of that. Go deeper. You cannot over talk about their pain point. Okay? The more they're willing to talk, the more you're willing to listen. I'll give an example of one of our partners who does confidence coaching. Hey, if you can resolve your social anxiety at work, then you can get that promotion. I'm curious, how much more would you earn if you got that promotion? They say, oh, I would earn an extra $1,000 a month. Okay, great. How much is that over the course of a year? Well, that's $12,000 a year. Okay, great. How many years do you plan to continue to work? Well, at least 10 years. Okay, how much is that? Okay, that's $12,000 times 10, that's $120,000 if they get that promotion, at least, right? Of course, they could go higher. So now all of a sudden, they've correlated their confidence with improving their career, which gets a promotion, which now they can see over the next 10 years. That's worth $120,000. So would you say at that point, if somebody can see that, it'd be pretty much a no-brainer to be willing to invest, say, $10,000 to have the upside of $120,000? Book a meeting from a meeting. I joke with my team about this. We call it BAMFAM.
Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to today's episode. We have this very special mini-series that I put together here over the next several episodes. What I did is I broke up a presentation that I delivered at a virtual workshop at MGI Studios in Calgary for a high-level mastermind group where I broke down the exact step-by-step formula on how our team over the past 10 years have supported dozens of event leaders and helped them sign up over 10,000 clients into their various programs, resulting in over $15 million in revenue. So I'm going to break that down for you in a handful of modules, step by step. Some people have paid for this course, but I'm actually giving it to you as my podcast listener for free, complimentary. My invitation to you is to tune in, watch today's episode, and come back for the following weeks. And be sure to subscribe so that you remember to come back and finish this mini-series. I look forward to seeing you on the other side. Let's jump into our next module. We're going to talk about what do you say on your conversations? What do you do on the one-on-ones to help get more clients? Two-step conversion system. There's many different ways to go about it. I'm personally a fan of the two-step system. And I think most things, whether you do it in one step or two steps or three steps, I think the principles of what I'm going to cover here are the same. Then right, we're talking about this book called The E-Myth Revisited at dinner last night by Michael Gerber. I think you read it in high school or something of the sort.
Yeah.
And it was a book that was recommended to me by my first mentor, and I think I was maybe 20 years old when I got that book. But in that book, he basically addresses why do most businesses fail. The statistics go, at the time, 50% of businesses fail within a year, 80% within 5 years, 90% within 10 years. And then it diagnoses how do you be in that 10% that go longer than 10 years. And it doesn't even mean that they were profitable. So one of the things they talk about slightly was sales, but it's where I first got this concept, this idea of a two-step notion. When you have a first step, again, whether it's one conversation or two conversations, you're still going through two steps. Or you're still covering both components. And the goal here is that you want to be able to qualify people in your process. Okay, so that's the big picture. I'm going to go individually. So step one, you're going to qualify. And step two is to deliver a proposal and move the conversation forward. One thing I like to just put out there as a fun visual and I was playing with GPT to create visuals, and it didn't give me a kid spilling his candy in the lobby. But don't spill your candy in the lobby. What does that mean? It's actually a Sandler sales principle is where I got the idea. And it's this notion that when you start to talk to someone, if you start to tell them your solution right away before you've properly diagnosed and before you have the proper setting and frame to do it, it's like spilling your candy in the lobby. It's like a kid who has their ice cream cone and the cone falls over and the kid starts crying. It's like, well, now it's on the ground and you can't pick it up and eat it now. So it's a tendency that most people have is too early in the conversation to start talking about, hey, this is my program, this is how much it costs, this is this and that, before you even really know what their needs are. And even if it makes sense, are they qualified? Do they have the problem that you solve? And are they willing and able to invest resources, whether that be time, whether that be money or combination of both, to solve that? Are they motivated? There are several things that involve in this initial component of the conversation before you go and start talking about what is my solution, whether it's a custom proposal or it's the same offer over and over again. Nonetheless, you still need to have that information to see, does it warrant a longer conversation? Or at some point, do you just say, hey, maybe it's not a fit, but I can direct you to someone that can help you. People appreciate that. Raise your hand here if you would say you appreciate if somebody's honest with you early on in the conversation, let you know what to expect, let you know it's a fit. And you can sense, it almost builds more trust. People are like, yeah, this is a sales call, and yes, I gotta see if it's a fit, and if it's not a fit, it'll be okay. It's okay to say no to me. You're not gonna hurt my feelings. So I'm gonna talk about that here in a moment more in step number two. And then on our exercise today, we're actually gonna demonstrate step number one together. So step one, qualify. So first and foremost, setting an expectation. At the beginning of your conversation, well, first and foremost, whatever you set, I'm assuming it's an appointment. And if it's not an appointment, make an appointment. This is something that I want to clarify. If you're just reaching out and having a quick conversation with people, hey, it's Jolene giving you a call because I want to talk to you about coaching. People are pretty busy. Oftentimes, they are just not in the frame. Maybe they're open. They like you. Maybe they have the problem that you can solve. But if they're not ready, if they're not like, okay, I'm sitting, I'm having a conversation with you, ideally Zoom, or in person, and like Zoom more now because you can be home. If they're not in a place where they can listen to you and be present, especially when it comes to coaching, sometimes you got to work with them in processes and tune into their feelings and their thoughts. And if they're driving a car or distracted, it's not going to work. Schedule that time. Schedule that first call. And you can do that with a short conversation. Hey, calling as a brief personal courtesy. Want to schedule a call to talk to you. You mentioned that you're dealing with this problem. I'm a professional coach. I'd like to offer you a free initial consultation, a free call to just discuss that and see if there's something I can do to help you. Is this a good time to schedule that, or should I call you another time to schedule it? Regardless, I'm still scheduling it. You see that? That initial conversation is to schedule a formal time where we can both sit in front of Zoom or meet for a coffee if that's what I want to do. But I'm not trying to just catch somebody off guard and then talk to them about how I'm going to change their lives with coaching. Does that make sense? Anybody ever make that mistake before? Anybody can relate to that? Yeah. So you want to set the frame. You want to set the container for let's have this initial conversation. Okay. So assume you did that properly. And then at the beginning of the conversation, you always want to set the frame or reset the frame. Okay, Dina, here we are. It's 1:36 Mountain Time. We had our appointment scheduled at 1 for 30 minutes. I apologize. I was late. I'm 6 minutes late. First of all, we had 30 minutes set aside. You still have a hard stop or could we go a little longer? So just like tuning into what's going on, and are we both still good? Are we both still good for the time that we have? Do we need more time? Whatever. Recheck the frame. Don't make any assumptions. First step is always trust and rapport. Connect with people. I'm going to assume everyone here, you kind of have your own thing when it comes to trust and rapport. You know how to go about that. I'm not going to go into that training in this moment. But yeah, you build trust, build rapport. Talk about their pain point. Talk about the problem, where they're at. Once there's a trust and rapport there, then set the frame, hey, we have 30 minutes set aside, are we still good for that? Or we started late, hey, can we go an extra 10 minutes because we started late? Just make sure that you have the time that you're gonna need, right? Because you have a sense for what you need to be able to properly diagnose for this person. So check the time and reestablish the purpose and agenda. Hey, I know we talked briefly on the phone today, you were in the car. The purpose of this conversation, this 30-minute conversation, is for me to ask you a few questions to better understand what you meant the other day when you said you were really dealing with some like nervous system issues, or you said you wanted to lose weight, or whatever that is. I want to better understand your situation as a professional coach to determine whether or not it makes sense for us to work together or for me to even make a proposal. I don't even know if it makes sense for even make an offer or make a proposal. I don't know that yet. I just want to ask a few clarifying questions
to get a sense for what's going on, to see if it makes sense to even have that conversation. Is that fair? Okay, great. And then also, I like to check in, what's their agenda? What do they want to get out of this call? What is their expectation? Make sure that they're not caught off guard or have a missed expectation. Just because I said something, even if I said the appropriate thing, doesn't mean they heard it. Maybe they were distracted and they're driving or whatever. What do they want from the call? Oh, I thought we were just going to have a cup of coffee. Oh, okay, if that's what you're expecting. Okay, thanks for letting me know. Whatever it is, right? So clarify the purpose and the agenda of the conversation. We talked about defining timing and the outcomes, and gain agreement to proceed. Like, hey, now that we've reestablished the purpose and our timeline, is it fair for us to move forward? You always want to ask permission. One of the things I personally like to do early in the conversation is let people know what a next step could look like. Hey, if it does look like, after asking a few questions, that I could potentially help you, what the next step would look like is, since we only have 20 minutes together, it's going to probably take us a bit more time to go deeper. If it looks like I could help you, what we'll do, and since you're back to, or you have a hard stop, I have a hard stop, what I would do is I would schedule in another 30 minutes, and then we'll meet, and then we can discuss at that point what specifically what that'll look like. Is that fair? So you see how I'm already framing what that next step could be? Or if the conversation is, hey, we have an hour together, we have 2 hours together, we're going to go deep, and if it makes sense, the next step is sign you up to be a private coaching client or to come to my retreat. All right, and we'll talk about that if it makes sense. But that's what the next step is. So letting them know early on, not like this mystery of, oh, we're talking about something, I'm not sure what it is. And also, just letting them know what the next positive step is. Also say, hey, it's okay. It's not a fit. You can say no. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I'd rather you say no to this so that you can say yes to something that could help you down the road. Regardless, I want to make a referral or support you if I can. And then also early in the conversation, if there's something going on that is, let's call it like a in the space or a gorilla in the room, like I was radically late to a call or somebody's driving in the car while I'm talking to them and they were meant to be on Zoom or whatever comes up that's clear that it's in the space of having a present conversation, then address it up front. It maybe if somebody says early on, well, I don't have money for this, or whatever limitation they're saying, doesn't mean you have to go into it right away, but say, okay, tell me what you meant by that. Help me understand what you meant by that. Whatever that you think could come up down the road in the conversation that could be an issue or a deal breaker, just address it up front. What did you mean by that? Or it's just called disarming the bomb. It's kind of a Sandler framing. So all that, set the expectation up front. It's clear. Okay, it's okay, we move forward. Yes, fair enough. Perfect. Now, what do you think they want to talk about? They want to talk about their pain point. People want to talk to you about, I'm a guy, right? I have women in my life who I would call friends. And I also have guys that are friends too. But oftentimes between friends, people want to talk about their, not all people, but sometimes they want to talk about their problem. They want somebody to listen to them. People want to talk about their pain point. So go right into it. Let them talk about it. Where does it hurt? How does it hurt? How long has it been hurting? What have you tried? I know my bias is to be optimistic. I have an optimistic bias versus a pessimistic bias. So the truth is somewhere in the middle. My tendency is to want to be like, oh, tell me about your goals. Tell me about your dreams. And those are important things to know. Don't get me wrong. But the truth is what probably matters more to people is being heard around what the problem is that they're dealing with. Because if the pain hurts so much, they can't think about their dreams. They can't think about their goals. They need the problem solved right now. So just like, tell me more. What's going on? Explore the impact of that. Go deeper. You cannot over talk about their pain point. Okay? The more they're willing to talk, the more you're willing to listen. By the way, it is good as a general framework. Ask a question and just listen as much as you can until they're exasperated. If nothing else, they're going to feel good because they've talked to somebody about it, which I know you want to help someone. Just being a listening ear is helpful to people. So ask the questions. And there'll be a little bit of a framework I'm going to share with you here on the exercise as well. But ask the questions, and you're going to see me model this too. All right. Once you've gotten truly present to their pain point, because remember, without that pain point, there is no change. If people aren't present to their pain point and they're not motivated to do something about it, there is no change. It's just a someday, like, it's uncomfortable, but not uncomfortable enough for me to do something about it. So it's our job to help presence them to that and help presence them to the impact of not doing something and not removing that thorn from their foot, per se. Quantify and qualify. So I'm a big believer in just getting a sense for where people are at, kind of on like a scale of 1 to 10. So I like to ask people, hey, 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how motivated are you to solve this problem, this pain point that you're addressing? How motivated are you? And I also like to ask, hey, are you willing and able to invest to resolve this? Time, money, political capital, whatever it might be. Are you willing to put something in to resolve this? I think of all the qualifying questions that you want the answers to, those two questions are probably the most relevant. At the end of the day, if someone doesn't have a pain point or they're not motivated, like 10 out of 10 motivated, and they're not willing or able, those two questions, it's willingness and ability, those are the things that are going to determine whether or not it even makes sense to put together a proposal or to have another two-hour conversation with them about it. And it's very clear. Yeah, my pain is high. I'm 10 motivated. I'm willing. Maybe I'm not able, but I'm willing. Okay, maybe there's a resourceful conversation there. Maybe someone's been able to get creative, but they want the help. So yeah, I find that people who are willing and motivated, they get creative and they oftentimes move forward. So quantify. But here's the other part, what I mean by quantify. In order for somebody to make a buying decision, they have to, in their minds, calculate what they call the worth it equation. What I mean by that is there has to be an equation in their mind that says, okay, if I do this, then I get this in return. That's a positive return. Okay? And I know sometimes it can be hard if your offer isn't necessarily business coaching or it isn't something that's money for money type of thing. But the job here is to figure out how is this problem impacting them personally, and ultimately, how does that impact their ability to earn? Because when people can draw a correlation between, I'll give an example of one of our partners who does confidence coaching. Hey, if you can resolve your social anxiety at work, then you can get that promotion. I'm curious, how much more would you earn if you got that promotion? They say, oh, I would earn an extra $1,000 a month. Okay, great. How much is that over the course of a year? Oh, that's $12,000 a year. Okay, great. How many years do you plan to continue to work? Well, at least 10 years. Okay, how much is that? Okay, that's $12,000 times 10. That's $120,000 if they get that promotion, at least, right? Of course, they could go higher. So now all of a sudden, they've correlated their confidence with improving their career, which get the promotion, which now they can see over the next 10 years, that's worth $120,000. So would you say at that point, if somebody can see that, it'd be pretty much a no-brainer to be willing to invest, say, $10,000 to have the upside of $120,000? Does that make sense? So whether they're saying it or not, there is a worth it equation that's taking place, and people need to figure out how is that going to happen? How do I connect my pain point? How do I get from my pain point to my dream outcome? How do I cross that bridge? And ideally, how do I quantify that in a way that is, if I'm willing to invest dollars, that I'm going to get a positive return on that? So I talked about budget. So everyone has some budget of some sort, whether it's dollars, whether it's time, whatever. It's just important to know what it is. And people will spend money on what they value. Right? It's not necessarily about whether or not they have the money, it's what they value. So I think it's helpful to get a sense for asking them, hey, you mentioned you have this problem, you mentioned you're motivated, you're willing, do you have something set aside for this? You either have something set aside already for this, you're planning on investing something, or have you not thought through that yet, but you need to think through that still. And oftentimes with just asking a question like that has them think about it, and you'd be surprised, half the time they're like, oh yeah, actually I have funds set aside for this thing. Okay, how much is that? Do you mind sharing? How much is that? And they say $500 a month, $1,000 a month, whatever that could be. Okay, great. So you know in their mind they already have something in mind for that. Or they don't. Okay, great. I get you don't have something set aside, but if you were going to set something aside to be able to solve this problem, how much would you set aside? Or could you set aside? Could, I like the could word, not the would, because would implies that they have to do it, but a could is like more of an option. And then whatever they say works for them, guess what? They're telling you now what works for them. So if you come back when you do a proposal and your proposal is a fit, it solves their problems and they tell you what will work for them, you're not going to have price as a resistance point. And it's really cool when you can not worry about that. You can be like, oh, this person said they're good with $10,000 for the year and it's well worth it for them. Then I should have no issues with coming to them with my $10,000 coaching package. Like, it's cool when you can do that. and decision process. So everyone has a meta program when it comes to making decisions, and everyone's different. Most people can make a decision somewhere between immediately and within 72 hours. But some people are in the spectrum. Some people are like, hey, I know I want something, I go for it, or whatever. Everyone has their program. So just asking people, I'm curious, how do you go about making important decisions? What's your thinking process, your decision process? And just listen. If somebody says, well, I like to sleep on things, I like to talk to my wife first or my husband first, or I like to do my research first, whatever, listen. And then you know what they're going to need, so that you don't come in and try to give them a situation that doesn't work for them. That being said, if people are needing more than 72 hours to make a decision, it's either like a logistical hurdle, like a legitimate logistical hurdle of some sort, but in most cases, it's a smokescreen, and it's something else going on that has them not wanting to really move forward. They're just afraid to say something. But again, talking through this helps assess that out to also qualify and see maybe you don't want to invest another hour, 2 hours of your time if it's clear that they're not actually interested. And then urgency. Is this a right now thing? Is this a next month thing? Is this a someday thing? These are important things to think about. Is it now, this month, maybe? Or is it sometime down the road? Because even if they're motivated, even if they're willing and able, if they want to put it off or they can put it off, whatever, maybe it's a tax situation they're resolving and they have to the deadline, these are things to be aware of. And ultimately, if you think they qualify, invite them to another call. If you're honoring this as a two-call process, schedule it on the spot. Book a meeting from a meeting. I joke with my team about this. We call it BAMFAM. We just joke like, BAMFAM, BAMFAM. Book a meeting from a meeting. All right. People get busy. This idea like, I'll call you on Monday or I'll follow up with you with no real something in the calendar. It's not likely to happen, or it's going to cause you work, unnecessary work. So schedule the follow-up right there and then. And also, again, reframe the expectation. I know we talked about at the beginning, but on this next call, I'm going to go put together this proposal. Maybe I'm going to have you fill out an application. Let me review that in advance so I can customize what we're doing to support you on that call. We'll go through the proposal. If it makes sense, we'll secure a deposit and help us move forward. And if it's not a fit, I'll let you know and I'll make other referrals for you. Either way, I need you to do me a favor. Will you do me a favor? Yes? Okay, great. Will you promise to give me a call if you need to cancel or reschedule? In the case of an emergency, look, I keep a full calendar. I'm pretty busy. I got kids. I don't have kids, but I'm just saying this as an example. And I would just appreciate a 24-hour notice if there's an emergency that comes up. Is that fair? Great. Okay. So let's go ahead and schedule that right now. When it works for you, in the next, ideally within the next 24 to 72 hours, but the sooner the better. We talked about the law of diminishing intent and those aspects. So that is the big picture. And you notice how all of this is well before talking about your offer, talking about your coaching, talking about your service, your product. These are all things that set you up powerfully and set them up powerfully to have a chill conversation about what you have to offer, to not worry about feeling salesy and this sort of thing, because it's all above board. And it's like, okay, great. Everyone knows what they can expect and oftentimes are looking forward to that conversation. Once you get to that second call, you deliver the proposal. Get an agreement in place, whether it's an email or a formal DocuSign. This is such a common mistake, especially with coaching. People get so excited and they forget to treat it properly. And it's to protect you and to protect them, because oftentimes people, especially when it comes to coaching, when they find themselves in a situation where they're emotionally challenged and they're stressing out, it's the time when they need coaching most, is oftentimes where they want to quit. And unfortunately, sometimes that comes to people wanting to request a refund or something along that line. But if you get them to sign an agreement that says, all sales are final, I'm not quitting, I'm in this to win this, as long as, of course, you're honoring your end of the bargain, those things are important, especially when you're charging $10,000 or more dollars for your service or product. Last thing you want to do is to deal with a chargeback and legal issues and that sort of thing. And more than anything, it's for the client. If they're stressed to the max and they want to back out, well, hey, this is the agreement. This is the conversation we had. I'm here to support you in getting the outcomes. They want the outcome. So get that agreement in place. Yes, a recording conversation does hold up in a lot of cases, but I do recommend a formal written agreement and, of course, collecting the cash. I'm a big believer in kind of like BAMFAM, collect something now. Even if they sign the agreement, it's not until someone pays to be a client that you should treat them like a client. When they pay money, they start paying attention. And if they're not able to pay their balance in full or pay their initial payment plan, take a deposit of some sort, whatever it is. Ask them what they can do right now, what they comfortably do right now, Because again, it's commitment and consistency. Any small commitment will lead to a greater commitment. And you already told them in advance, this is what we're going to do on this call. If it's a fit, we're going to collect the payment. We're going to collect the deposit. Okay, I got it that you can't do 5,000 right now. What can you do? 500? Okay, we'll do 500 now, and then we'll schedule the rest next week, and then we'll get started next week. So collect the cash, get the contract signed, collect the cash, and schedule them for their formal coaching session at that point, and always schedule that next session. Bam, fam. Even though you got the cash, you got the contract, schedule the next session. The last thing you need is somebody getting cold feet, because it varies in most states in the United States. But even if there's a contract signed, there's like a buyer protection thing where people have anywhere between roughly 24 hours to up to 30 days, in the state of California, to back out, even if they have a contract signed. So you need to make sure they're fully emotionally invested and have something to look forward to, which means make sure that they're scheduled for their onboarding call, kickoff call, whatever that thing is that you're doing for them, to get them the results as quickly as possible. Get them excited. Make sense? All right, so here's what we're going to do for our exercise. There's a document called the 15-Minute Qualifier, Commitment Frameworks, Sandler-based, so everyone can kind of follow along with what I have in my hand. Congratulations on completing module number 4 of our 4-part masterclass on how to get high-paying clients at your next live event. If you're listening to this module first, I'm going to invite you to go back to module number 1 and start from the beginning and watch them sequentially. This is our proven framework that we've used over the past 10 years to enroll over 10,000 participants into coaching, mastermind, and coaching programs at live events, and you can use it too here, complimentary to you. If you've gotten value from this mini series and you want to talk about your next live event and how you can have myself or our team support you in optimizing your sales at your next event, you can click the link below here as well. It'll take you to our website where you can schedule a consultation with myself or a member of our team so we can talk about your next live event and exactly how we can improve your sales at your event. So go ahead and click the link below, and here near the recording, you're going to find a link where you can go and download the 5-part blueprint that we covered in this video so you can use it to implement at your next event to qualify and enroll high-paying clients at your next event. So go ahead and find the link, click on it, put in your information, and download the template and use it at your next event. Talk to you on the other side.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.